We are going to talk about prayer today, and turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Oh, my bad. So let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens and your bulletins. And please take a lot of notes today. Our memory verse is the same, Matthew 7, 7. Let's look in there real quick. Ask, seek, and knock. Let's read that. In your bulletin on the left side, inside left flap. I know I'm telling you to do three things at one time. Just testing your coordination. Let's read that on three. One, two, three. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Now, if you notice that the A and the S and the K are bold, that is an acronym. A-S-K, ask, seek, knock. My head coach to my football team, my Pop Warner team, is a non-believer, and I've been inviting him to church since the first week of practice. And last week he came, and I know he's not here now, so I could say all this stuff, and I'll tell him I said it, but he came with his girlfriend, he has a little date, and their first date was church. And he said he was going. She says, you're going to the Rock? I've been meaning to go. And so they both came. But I saw him at, I said, how'd you like it? He said, he liked it. And he said, ask, seek, knock. Ask, seek, knock. He remembered that. And I was like, look at you, put my hand on the shoulder. Look at you getting Christianized. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Has hair all moosed out. It's looking all cute. It is a blessing. We're talking about prayer. And we've talked about that God wants to answer your prayer. I encourage you to pray that you would have a desire to pray. We talked about what prayer is. But today, I want to talk about the possible answers that God can give you to your prayers. We're negotiating the building, and I appreciate your prayers. On Tuesday, we meet with the principals, the people who own the building, for the first time to actually sit down and talk about details. They counted our offer, and now we're into the negotiating stage, and it's very exciting, very positive, very promising. Even more, be honest with you, it's more promising than I would have ever thought of what could happen. And again, we have signed an agreement to not say details. The other day we had a signed agreement. We didn't talk specifics about it. But we're going to hopefully get past that. But when we're going into these negotiations, I'm wondering, okay, if we counter offer this, what will they say? If we ask for this too, what would they say? And trying to figure out how they're going to respond. And when you pray, same thing happens. Okay, should I ask God for this? Maybe that's too much. Is God mad at me because he didn't answer me today? What's God thinking? You ever think that? I mean, you know, maybe I'll just ask for a little bit. Maybe I won't pray. Maybe he doesn't want to hear my prayers. Well, it's very important for us to know what are the things, ways he can respond. Because when you know that, then you can, your prayers will be empowered. You will be fired up after today to pray more. You will be, say, I want to be fired up. Say, I want to be fired up. I want to pray more. Okay, okay. Four answers. One answer can be wait. You could write this down if you have a pen and a bulletin and a hand to write with, and you know how to write. Done, D-O-N-E, no, and yes. Now watch this. God, Ephesians 2:10 says, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared for beforehand. God has created you and is preparing you to do something that he's already prepared for you to do. He's already prepared for you to do something. So when you're praying, you're going, God, I want to do what you have prepared me to do. I want to walk in it. It's already in, he already knows the future. The Bible says in John 15, 16, you did not choose me. This is what Jesus says. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed that you should go bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in my Father's name, I'll give you. So God picked you to do something for his kingdom. That whatever you ask in prayer, you may do it, that your fruit may be legitimate, your fruit may last. So here you are as an individual, God's picked you, he has something in the future for you to do, and here you are praying about something. But God has already picked you and prepared the circumstances for you to do this. So when you pray, you need to be praying, Lord, I'm anticipating you to respond to me because you already have a purpose for me. None of you or none of us are purposeless. We're not purposeless. We all have a purpose in God's mind, and the purpose is good. Everything that God has called us to is according to his purpose. Remember a few weeks ago, we did a couple of weeks, a series on being called, and we are called according to his purpose. So God, I want to pray according to your purpose, and I want to see what your answers are. Now, one thing before we get into the four answers, when you pray, you have to pray with faith. Write down Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hope is an expectant desire. It's something you want and you expect, you anticipate, you're looking for it, and you're excited about it. When you get up in the morning, you need to pray with faith. God's going to respond. He could say, wait. He could say, I did it already. He could say, no, I got something better. He could say, yeah. But, okay, God, I want to see what you got. Lord, what do you got for me today? What's going to happen today? Whatever it is according to his purpose. Whatever it is, I'm already saved. I'm going to heaven. Whatever it is, he's not going to let something filter through his hands to my life, not according to how much he loves me. And it's going to help me draw closer to him. So guess what, God? I anticipate. I got faith. Come on, let's show me. Some people are not optimistic. Some people are like this. Oh, well, God doesn't love me. He doesn't bless me, so I guess I shouldn't pray. Oh, only you get all the blessings. You're so happy all the time. Nothing bad ever happens to you. But that's not my life. You know what? That's your perspective. That's the devil. Nothing ever happens to you because you never look for it. Nothing ever happens to you because when it does, you say it's a coincidence and it'll never happen again. That's why nothing ever happens for you. Are you alive? Be glad. You got clothes? Be glad. Or are you living in a tent in Afghanistan? You ever wonder how many of those people are victims? They've never known anything else but their religion. They've never known anything else but war. They've known nothing else but the Taliban. Nothing. They don't have the option you have. Have you thanked God for that? And do you pray for them that they would meet Jesus? I mean, let's wake up to realize what the devil's blinding us, all the blessings he's blinding us to. First answer. Write down the word, wait. W-A-I-T. Wait. Matthew 6:11, let's read it. It says, give us this day our daily bread. We trip out because we don't have 401k bread. Earning 12% a year. God says, I've given you your daily bread. By a show of hands, and please loosen up your arm and raise your hand. Nothing's going to happen. How many of you in here have food in your house enough for today and to eat something tomorrow? Oh, my goodness. God didn't promise you that. He promised you daily bread. If all you had was today's food, God would have fulfilled his promise. And then tomorrow when you wake up, someone will knock on your door. Here's a McSandwich. God would have fulfilled his promise. Then at lunchtime, here's another McNugget. God would have fulfilled his promise. He does. Whenever I travel, I love to travel with like $1. Just $1. I go there. I'll go cross country for 3 days. I'll take $1. And now I know the people there are going to care for me. That's their part of the contract. They got to feed me and give me a place to stay. But I'm not going wads of money. Now I got my credit card now. But even before I had a credit card, because a lot of times I wouldn't even take a credit card. I just go with a dollar, and I don't like to eat a lot when I travel anyway. And because, believe me, you'll get sick and die quicker from eating than not eating. If you could just eat yourself into the grave. But I would go and just go, okay, God, take care of me. I got a busy schedule. I'm going to speak 3 times a day, 4 times a day, whatever. Boom, 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 boom. And I'm not going to take all these insurance policies because I don't trust you're going to take care of me. He says, I'm going to give you a daily bread. Wait. So many of us are praying. God, I need. And God says, wait. Psalm 27:14. Please write down Psalm 27:14. It says, Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. I say, wait. You're praying for something right now. I gotta have it. And God says, wait. Relax. I was talking to a guy the other day, a friend of mine has a business, sold one company for millions and millions, and has another company he might want to sell for millions and millions. And he's, what do I do? What do you think I should do? I said, nothing. Don't do anything. Just wait. A lot of y'all press for a decision? No, you're not. Wait. Especially if you get in an argument. Some of y'all might be in the middle of an argument right now. Some of your husbands may be mad at your wife because she was late this morning. Your wives may be mad at your husband because he didn't want to come, but he came anyway and he got an attitude. Or he didn't put his plate in the sink this morning, or whatever it is. You caught him doing something last night he shouldn't have been doing. And you want to fight. Don't fight. Don't say anything. Wait. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. You're going to meet somebody after church. You're going to fight it out. Wait. Meet after church and say nothing. How you doing? You know, why don't we just talk tomorrow? No, let's talk tomorrow. Well, you know, you're just scared. Let's talk tomorrow. Okay? Bah! See ya. Then tomorrow comes and nothing happens. They got something to do. Week goes by and you know what? Wait. God, we are so, and believe me, I am chief, top, gotta get it done now. Adrenaline. Addicted, adrenaline, overdosing on adrenaline every day. I come home every day, tell my wife what happened that day. In 10 minutes, I'm like this. And this happened, and I'm not talking about anything but, you know, what happened at football practice or what happened at the office or what I saw on TV. And guess what? This is what happened, and this is what happened. And she's just walking around, kind of whatever, you know. She's opposite. She is like, I got all adrenaline. She's so calm. And I'm like, and then I have to sit down and go, okay. She's like, calm down. We get like that with God. God, I need this right now. I need this right now. God, you know, come on, God. God's like, chill. Bring it down. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. The reason you're panicking is because you doubt that I am control. The reason you're panicking is because you think things are out of control. You think someone's going to jump in front of you. You think the devil's going to get what he shouldn't get. You think you're not going to get what you should get. That's why you're panicking. You're going to get exactly what God wants you to get, as long as you trust God. That is so liberating. It is so liberating. When you can say, you know what, I want that, and I want to do everything I can to get it, and God says, I want to give it to you, relax. No, but God, I can get it if you just let me. No, I don't want to let you. Because if you get it, you're going to crush it by holding on to it tight and ripping it off the wall. I just want to unscrew it, put the screws in a little bag, wrap it up, make it bigger, clean it up, and then I'm going to give it to you while you're sleeping. Adam and Eve, what did Adam do to get Eve? Nothing. He wasn't like, yo, babe, what's your name? Oh, yo. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to go get a gold chain. He didn't have to put cologne on. All he had to do was sleep. He woke up, and there she was. Boom. Wait. Next answer. done. Write down done. Ooh, I'm sorry. Let me give you this quote. Please write this quote down about waiting. Please write this down. This will liberate you. God will not give tomorrow's gift. Give tomorrow's gift. What's the next word? Today. He's got something for you tomorrow. Oh God, I want it today. No. I want it. It's going to be tomorrow. Now, tomorrow may be in the year 2017. But you know what? That's when you're going to be ready to use it and appreciate it better. He will not give you tomorrow's gift today. The next word, next answer is done. Matthew 6:8, it says, referring to hypocrites who pray in the street corners trying to get credit because they pray all these big prayers out in public in front of people for the purpose of looking holy. He says, therefore, don't be like them. Your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Turn to Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65, verse 24, it says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. You know what I would ask you to encourage you to pray? That God would show you what he's already done. He's already done it. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy 29 says, and there are so many things that God has already done in our life, for our life. He's already set up the circumstances for you to walk in. And you know what? Many times we walk in those circumstances and things just go right and you don't give God credit. What a coincidence. You won't believe it. I went and they had one Twinkies left. And I wanted a Twinkie when I was in the car. What a coincidence. You don't think God cares about little things like that? You're mistaken. You won't believe. I was driving down the street and I needed to get through this light and the light turned green right as soon as I got there. And I got there one time and I wasn't late for the job meeting. Oh, you don't think God has to do with that? Yes, he does. He does stuff before you all the time, and you think it's a coincidence. You think it's luck. And God's like, what about me? What about me? How come you didn't get a flat tire? Me. How many times you get a flat tire? Two, once, twice in your life? Well, maybe some of y'all get it all the time. I don't know. You need to get new tires, okay? I'm driving to this meeting, and I hate being late. I'm driving to this meeting, and I get a flat tire. What? I'm talking like flat. Like, I can't make it there flat. And I'm thinking, God, what is going on? He's like, oh, I got you a flat because I wanted to get your heart right for this meeting. All I'm going to do is get upset. No. No, you will get upset, but you're going to get dirty and funky in the process, changing the tire. And then you're going to call and apologize, and you're going to walk into that meeting real humble because you're going to be late. You don't like to be late. Whatever, God. Whatever. So I walk in the meeting, and the guy says, oh, man, don't worry about it. Don't worry. And the meeting went great. God is in all, and we don't want to give him credit. We think we live with God sometimes, then we do things outside of God. He says, look at Deuteronomy 29:4. It says, yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear this very day. My friends, ask God to show you what he's done. You're praying for something, And he's already done it over here. But because you and I can be so narrow-minded and hard-headed and tunnel vision about what we want based on what we think is best, we don't see this right here. Remember when you were a kid? And you had this picture of this girlfriend or boyfriend you wanted, and you were looking at the girl over across town, the girl in the other school, and you missed the girl right next door that had the cat eye glasses and the 9 million pimples on her face and the buck teeth, and or the guy with the 9 million pimples on his face, and all of a sudden the brother started drinking some milk and grew up. And God was saying, I had right there. But no, you wanted a Pamela Anderson when you were 12. He says, I got it right here. I've done it already. You need to say, Lord, I'm praying for this. I'm stressing, and I'm thinking you've forgotten about me. I'm thinking you don't love me anymore, and it's right here. You need to look for evidence constantly of what he's already done. You need to look for evidence of him telling you to wait, to be patient. You need to look for evidence. Because all of y'all have gifts. All of you have things God wants you to do. All of you have an eternal purpose. That's all fact. That's all fact. That's not optional. All of you he's created in Christ Jesus. All of you he wants to use to build the kingdom. So here you are. There's a lot of that already set up. You need to see and discover those things first. What are my gifts? What are my passions? What are my interests? Who's around me to help me? What is this the church I go to? Or is this a church I visit? If it's a church I go to, and this is the church God wants me in, what are the needs? Well, here I am. Here are the needs. Here are my talents. Here's my passions. Duh. Start walking in that and pursuing that need to see, man, the opportunity's there. Man, the need is there. Man, I have the interest. It's already done. We're waiting for God to do this to us. Bam! And even then, what you do is you go, oh, man, get that Bible out, and you get all, and you don't even see it. God's like, hey, wake up, fool. Wake up, fool. It's right there. Some of you have been hurting so long. You've gone through so much pain. And no one can deal with your pain. Let me tell you something. Helping somebody else is one of the best ways to deal with your pain. The Bible says that God of all comfort will comfort you, that you may comfort others. And you're thinking, God, I have all this experience. I went through this problem. I went through this problem, and you helped me. What do I do with this? Go help somebody else. Don't wait till you're perfect, because you won't be perfect. You won't be perfect. God's going to put you in a situation, and guess what? If you feel like you should be there, and then you feel like you're overwhelmed, that's God. But if you feel like, oh, I can do this, is no problem, ooh, that's pride. God wants to use you. He needs you to step out by faith. He's already done. Ask God to show you the circumstances that are already done that are going to lead you to the answer that you really ultimately think you're looking for that may be even different than what you're asking. Show me, God. I mean, if you went home today and got you a pen out, where's my pen? And got you a pen out, and said, Lord, matter of fact, let me try this real quick. Write these down. Let me see. What's your interest? What are your interests? Your gifts? Your spiritual gifts? Opportunities in the church? Needs of people? And you can add to the list as you will. You know what these end up being? Things that God has already done to guide and direct you in your life where he wants you to go. I said in the very beginning, none of us are called to just sit. So God, show me what you've done. One of the ways I discover God's will for my life, or discover what God wants me to do in a circumstance, is I look at circumstances like that, but then I start to go do it. A key example, this building. Okay, God, cost how much? Millions? Okay. Well, let's try to buy it. If he says no, then fine, but I'm not going to sit there and go, okay, if you send all the money, then I'll, or if you have them give it to me, or if you just, no, I'm going to pursue it. I'm going to go after it. You know what God's going to do? When he wants me to stop, he'll do this. And he'll go, wow, and I'll start going over there. And then he'll go, look at that one. I'll go, and this has happened. This is like our fifth place that we've looked at, which is normal. You just look at one, yes, no, yes, no. And you go and you pursue it until he says, no, you've been faithful, now go over here. Then you go. But if you just sit, you'll never go anywhere. You can't steer a car that's not moving. You ever trying to turn the steering wheel? When you're a little kid, you try to turn the wheel and it won't move. You're like, and then you see your dad when he's driving, he's just doing it one finger. Man, daddy's strong. No, it's the car is moving. Car is moving. Third answer is no. God can say no. Dear God, I want to be a millionaire. No. How about I want to be half of a millionaire? No. I want minimum wage. Yes. I'm going to read some verses to you that might shock you. But there are some times that your prayers can be an abomination to God. Proverbs 28:9. You can write that down. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. You know what many people say? Nah, I ain't going to church. I ain't reading no Bible. Dear God. God's like, please. People don't think that that's true. They think, well, I'm a good guy. God'll answer my prayers. Nope. Nope. No. Let me read it again. Proverbs 28:9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is abomination. Let me read another one to you. Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. Let me read another one to you. If I regard Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity or sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Let me read another one to you. Jeremiah 14:10-12. Thus says the Lord, they have loved to wander, they have not restrained their feet, therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their sins and punish their sins. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Oh, yeah, you cut yourself off. Don't think, well, God will just listen to my prayers. And I had a conversation on the plane with a stewardess last time I was on the plane, a month ago, 3 weeks ago. And we started talking about things and blah, 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 blah. And she said she met a guy. I asked about her boyfriend situation, her husband situation, and was she dating, blah, 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 blah. She said, I have a boyfriend. I said, where'd you meet him? Oh, he lives in L.A. She lives on the East Coast. How'd you meet? Blah, 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 blah. She met him, and then she went to visit him. I said, so wait a minute. Let's back up. You met him. How long did you see him? Well, we met for a couple weeks. Met this thing. He was in town for 2 days. And we exchanged numbers. So I went to L.A. from New York to stay with him, to visit him. So I said, well, where'd you stay when you visited him? Well, I stayed with him. I said, where'd you sleep? Well, I slept in bed with him. I said, well, what happened? I said, let's back up here. You just met him. And you only know him for 2 days, and then you go all the way across country to stay with him? I said, now, are you a Christian? And she says, well, yeah. You know, I'm from the South, and we go to church, and I'm a Christian. I says, well, do you see anything wrong with what you just did? I mean, Jesus doesn't want you to sleep with him. You're not married with him. And so she says, well, I pray and God will forgive me. And so it's okay. He'll just forgive me. I says, oh, no, girlfriend. Oh, no. She says, are you a Christian? I says, yes, I'm a pastor. And she went, and then she's like this on the chair. Well, God, you don't think. And I said, oh, no. Oh, no. She said, well, he's not going to forgive me. You know, I said, let me tell you something. The Bible says if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you. But the Bible says you must bear fruits that are worthy of repentance. You must repent. The Bible says just because grace abounds, God's forgiveness, doesn't mean sin should abound. Doesn't mean just because God's forgiven you, you keep sinning. What sense does that make? That doesn't even make sense to a person, much less to God. He wants you to change. She's like, oh, well, what do you think I should do? You think I should stop? I said, yeah, you need to stop having sex with him. She's like, oh. She says, well, what about? I said, listen, you have to decide, are you going to choose to please God or are you going to choose to please this guy? I said, what does your mother say about that? Well, my mom, she's so nice and she's so, what does she say? She's so understanding. I said, no, your mom's wrong. God is not a sucker. It's not a sucker. Don't think, well, I'm a Christian, I go to church, and everything's fine. No. You will be judged. You will pay. That's why a lot of y'all are depressed now, because it's your sin. Well, how come I'm not happy? Because you got sin in your life. And you're not repenting and you're not changing. Period. End of story. Whenever I get stressed, it's because of sin in my life. And the sin of just worrying, not letting stuff go, not trusting God. Whenever I get overwhelmed, okay, God, what am I doing wrong? Well, you're doing too much. You need to wait. You need to slow down. You need to pray more. You need to get in your word. You need to say no to all those people over there. You need to turn your phone off. You need to go out there and sit in the woods for 2 days. Oh, man, I don't like the woods, God. Can I go to a hotel? Yeah, go to a hotel then. Some of you may be saying, you know what? God answers my prayers, and I'm not perfect. So how do you explain it? I do sin. You know what? There was a guy I played on the Chargers when I played. His name was Chuck Muncy. Many young people might not remember him, but Chuck Muncy was a running back, 6'3", 220 pounds, 230 pounds, and he would be able to play now and be very effective, even though the guys have gotten bigger and stronger and faster. He was ahead of his time physically. I don't know if he's going to go to Hall of Fame, but he was all pro year after year after year. Very nice guy. He was awesome. Chuck Muncy was feared. I mean, I seen that dude run, and guys my size tackle him. He would just, boom, pick him up and just keep going. I mean, his shoulder pads were like Dixie cups on his shoulders. They was like little, dude was bad. But Chuck Muncy, and for us older people who know Chuck, remember Chuck, know what I'm talking about. But he had a drug problem, cocaine, and partied all the time. But a very nice guy, but he had a cocaine problem, ended his career prematurely. And his locker was next to mine. And I used to sit there and look at this dude and go, man, if that dude stopped using drugs and worked out, he never worked out. I was there 4 years with him, and I never saw him lift weights. Not once. I said, can you imagine if that dude worked out? If he ran and got in shape? I mean, he would come to practice literally from being up all night on cocaine and just come, eyes all red, he's up all night, just come right to practice from wherever he was. And I was a young, naive guy, man. How does he do it? And he'd come and get 150 yards. Play a game, sometimes play a game high. And he has since stopped all that. But we used to always talk about how great he could have been if he would have got all rid of that. Imagine how powerful your prayers could be if you dealt with your sin. Imagine, the Bible says, if you prayed to this mountain, if you had faith, it would move to here. Well, do you think that could really happen? I mean, do you really think? Imagine if you said, Lord, I want to be focused on being holy and godly, and I want to see what you're going to do then. That's the exciting thing. And there are so many things that God dangles in front of you. And you're like, I want that. I deserve that. I'm made for that. God, you put it on my heart to have that. And you know what God says? You're right. You are exactly right. But you won't get it until you do this. Let me read a verse to you. Let me read a verse to you. James chapter 5, write this down. James chapter 4, verse 3, 4, 3. James 4, 3, 4. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. Oh, Lord, I want that. I deserve that. I was made for that. He says, you're right. But you're not ready for that. Your response should be, God, get me ready. Lord, you know what? Every one of y'all right now in the process of being getting ready, get prepared for something. You need to know that. You need to look for that preparation. You need to see every circumstance as part of that preparation to achieve what God wants you to be. Paul says he presses on, forgetting what's behind, he presses on that he may apprehend, watch this, apprehend what God has already apprehended for him. He wants to achieve what God has already set, the standard God has already set for him. The miles that God would want standing here in 12 months, I need to pursue that guy. It can't be this guy that's standing here today. It can't be. I can't be the same. I'd be in sin if I was the same. I have to say, Lord, I want to be that guy with not dealing with these issues, doing better in this area, not doing this, or whatever it is. That's what you have to pursue. That's why you have to constantly pursue God to know what that is. Last thing I want to say this before we get to the yes answer, and I'm going to spend a little time on that because we all know that one. Husbands, please write this verse down, or wives, 1 Peter 3:7. Matter of fact, wives, you'll probably remember it and be able to quote it more often than husbands. It says, you'll know why in a minute, don't get all huffy. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, them as your wife, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life. Watch this. Honor your wife that your prayers may not be hindered. Woo! Woo! God, how come you won't answer my prayer? Because you don't respect your wife. God, how come you won't bless my business? Because you don't serve your wife. God, how come you won't get me that car? Let me get, how come I can't? Because you don't honor your wife. What does that got to do with that? Whatever I want it to have to do with that. Whatever. Hey, fellas, you want to have more intimacy with your wife? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? One honest man in the crowd. give me five, man. Give me five. Give me five. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Fellas, you want to have more intimacy with your wife? Yeah. You know. I'm going to tell you three things you can do. Guaranteed to work. Get a pen. Write them down. Look at all these brothers getting there. Come on, come borrow your pen. Come on. Come borrow your pen. Someone got a pen. Oh, gosh. Do the dishes. Ladies say amen if I'm right. Ooh, didn't know that. And you know that. Well, let me be more general. Do housework. Wash. Get her a car. Then wash her car. Lay your hands on them. And I'm not talking about that's later. But lay your hands on them. Lay your hands on them. You're like, man, he got to the point real quick on that one. Lay your hands on them and pray for them every day. sit them down and read the Bible to them. Try that. Next week, y'all be coming here. How you doing? Oh, we just praying every day. I'm vacuuming, washing dishes at the same time. Okay, I got to stop, so let's go to the last one. The last answer is the answer we've all been waiting for. Yes. Let me read some verses to you. Write them down as I read them. Jeremiah 33:1. Jeremiah 33:1 says, call to me and I will answer you. Jeremiah 33:1. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will answer from heaven and forgive their sin. I will. John 15:16. You did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit shall remain, that whatever you ask in my Father's name, he may give you. So what I say, 2 Chronicles 7:14, I said, Jeremiah 33:3, I said, John 15:16, and last one, 1 Chronicles 4:10, Jabez, oh Lord, bless me a whole lot. Hook a brother up. Enlarge my territory. May your hand be with me. Keep me from evil that I may not cause anybody pain. Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. And the God, and the Bible says that Jabez said, and the Lord granted him what he requested. God says, yes, I want to bless you. Here's what you got to do. Here, please do this week. I'm going to get on my knees again. I think I did it last week for y'all. Did I do it for y'all last week? I did it for a service. Please do this week. Do that. No, I'm kidding. God, show me whether you've done it. Show me whether you want me to wait. Show me whether it's a no and you have something better. Show me the yes. Show me. And you're going to find that some of the prayers you have, he's already done. Wow, look at all these circumstances and all this stuff waiting for me to just pick it up. Some things he says, no, 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 I don't want that for you. That's not what you want. Some of you have wanted to get married to somebody, come to find out they were really the wrong person. But you, God, please let me get married to this person. And God says, that's not the one. So show, and then show where God says, hey, I've already done it. Show, have God show you where he wants you to just, excuse me, wait. Everyone do this. Okay, God. I don't want to wait. I'll wait. Everything. Sit in, go home and sit in your yard and listen to whatever sounds you have in your yard. Tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet. Vroom, vroom, whatever way you live, I don't know. But just wait. Go someplace quiet and watch the birds. Tweet, tweet. Tweet, tweet. The Bible says they neither toil nor spin. Tweet, 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 tweet. God takes care of them. Tweet, tweet. You don't see them in the trees going, where are we going to get some food for tomorrow? Where are we going to get some food? They fly around singing. You ever hear this? You ever hear that bird? You don't know where it's coming? It's a little dove. And I saw one on my post, and it comes from his chest. He's calling his girlfriend. I'm over here. Let's go fly over there. And I just watch animals. They're not tripping. God is taking care of them. Hawks up on the pole. Then they see something they're going to eat. God shows them over there. The cat in that person's yard. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Oh, yeah! Sorry. God takes care of them. You know what the Bible says? God loves you so much more. So just wait. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, I pray as we go through this series on prayer that people would pray, that they would do it, that they would go home and look these verses up and pray these verses. That they would hold you to your promise. I pray that you would give us a desire to pray. I pray you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a mind to conceive what you've already done, what you want us to ask for, and that every day we would walk with you trusting prayerfully that you are guiding us in the right direction. Lord, I thank you for Tuesday and this negotiating meeting for the buildings. I thank you for all the years that I have driven by this place, wishing and praying we could be there, but not ever realizing it could be possible. And now you've made it possible. It encourages me, Lord. It encourages me to see you do the impossible. I pray that we would believe you and trust you and come to you with every opportunity, every question, every burden, that we would lay everything at your feet. And Lord, if there are people here who need prayer today, there are people here who have burdens that they need people to talk to, I pray that they would come forward at the end to talk to somebody. Underneath both screens, there'll be people for you to pray with. And I pray that people would flood the table outside the door for the Stevens ministry. Lord, that we would have hundreds of people who want to help people. Who want to help people. Lord, I pray for 91X and those people who listened. I pray that many were converted. We may never see them until heaven. But I pray that they find a church and they allow you to be their God and their master. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Next week, we'll be talking about how to get your prayers answered, praying in Jesus' name. I'm going to try to get down this aisle. If y'all could just let me walk through so I can get to the front door, I appreciate it. And I'll see you guys next week. Fellas, do some housework.